Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday, April 16th. Welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I am your host, Kate Ariano, and I hope all of the UConn Huskies out there are enjoying your last few days of a restful spring break. And now, I'm here to give you the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. The Undergraduate Student Government Senate passed legislation last Wednesday night to advocate for the rights of LGBTQIA+ students. Jake Kelly reports for the Daily Campus that the statement of position regarding the rights of queer and trans students at UConn was enacted to ensure that microaggressions toward LGBTQIA+ students are taken seriously and community members are held accountable for their actions. Sixth semester political science major and USG Senator Will Shad says, "I think it will be effective as a living document to be used next year to spearhead the advocacy on behalf of our queer students." Kelly reports that the bill passed with a large majority in the Senate and calls on UConn administration to enforce accountability for gender-based oppression and to review policies surrounding names and pronoun rights, mental health rights, and bodily autonomy rights. For the first time in UConn's history, two students have been named 2021 Truman Scholars. Mike Enright writes for UConn Today that political science and human rights major Sage Phillips and environmental studies major Sana Wazer, both College of Liberal Arts and Sciences class of 2022, were selected from a pool of 845 candidates, an honor they share with 60 other scholars from around the United States. The scholarship, established to pay tribute to President Harry S. Truman, was created by Congress in 1975 to identify and honor young leaders in public service. Enright writes that each recipient will receive a $30,000 scholarship toward graduate school alongside professional development programming. Director of UConn's Office of National Scholarships and Fellowship, Vin Muscardelli, says, "Having two Truman Scholars in the same year is a testament to the ambition and energy of our students, their deep commitment to making a difference in the world, and the way our entire campus community fosters and encourages leadership, engagement, exploration, and personal growth. Since 1986, 9 Truman Scholars have been UConn students." UConn Alumni Relations hosted a panel last Tuesday focusing on the impact of the pandemic on working mothers. Jordana Castelli reports for the Daily Campus that moderator Dr. Jenny Weiner discussed heightened anxiety and the extra responsibility some mothers face as caretakers of their children and sick relatives with panelists Donna Hagegat and Rapul Parekh. Castelli writes that due to existing wage gaps in certain jobs, women are also often the ones who are burdened with leaving their job if someone in the family needs to do so. Parekh, who became a mother during the pandemic, says, "I didn't have the community because all of a sudden I was in a pandemic and I never really realized how much I wanted to talk to new mothers and have that sense of community." Castelli writes that even though women across the country are struggling with these difficult moments over the last year, it helps them to know that they are going through the same thing as other people are. The UConn community mourns the passing of Amanda Higgins, a second-year master's student from Windsor, Connecticut. Grace McFadden reports for the Daily Campus that Higgins was involved with the UConn First Year Experience Program, the Department of Career Services, as well as the Student Alumni Association as an undergraduate here at UConn. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in human development and family studies in 2013, and after working for several years, Higgins came back to UConn to pursue a master's in higher education and student affairs. The Dean of Students' Office is available to send condolences to the Higgins family during this time. Now I've got the weather forecast for the weekend. Today will be mainly rainy and snowy until 3 p.m., with more snow likely between 3 and 4. The day's high will be 38 with a low tonight around 35. Saturday will bring some partly sunny skies with a high of 47 and a low around 37. We'll wrap up spring break with a potentially rainy Sunday with a high near 53 and a low around 39. Before we take a break, here's the news in UConn sports from this last week. The UConn men's and women's track and field teams have two meets this weekend at the U.S. Naval Academy and at the University of Virginia. Women's lacrosse played last Sunday against the University of Denver's Pioneers, losing 7-11. They'll play the Villanova University Wildcats today and Sunday, both games at noon. UConn softball games have been postponed from this Tuesday and Wednesday, and UConn baseball games are canceled through the end of the weekend. We will be right back.
Thanks for listening to your local college radio station, WHUS Stores 91.7 FM, keeping it weird since 1922.
As we move into our discussion segment of the show, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. Welcome, everybody. Today, I have the pleasure of talking to the one, the only, the winners of the WHUS Battle of the Bands 2021 Cyborg Village. Guys, how are you?
Hello,
Chevy.
I
think we're good.
Good to hear it. So why don't you start off by introducing yourselves? I know, unfortunately, our listeners can't see you guys right now. So tell us who you are, what part you play in the band, and maybe a fun fact about yourself.
Cool. My name is Josh Ketchum. I sing and play guitar. And fun fact about myself is I do all my own stunts in the Battle of the Bands video. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I remember you guys had a pretty sick video. I really liked it. So we'll ask you a little bit more about that later on. But
yeah, no stuntmen at all, but yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
How about you, Robbie? You go.
All right. I'm Robbie Laporta, and I play drums in Cyborg Village, and I'm from Newtown, and I like sobs.
Nice. I actually have a friend from Newtown. Do you perhaps know Sarah Dowling?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't think so.
Okay, that's all right. I don't know how big Newtown is, but I love your TJ Maxx. That's all I have to say.
We have a good TJ Maxx.
They really do, I have to say. All right, Brandon, you're up.
My name is Brandon. I'm also from Newtown. A fun fact about me. I should probably introduce myself more. I'm the bassist in Cyborg Village. And I guess my fun fact would be that I was the director and editor of the film part of it. Because I go to NYU for film.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's where a lot of the more cinematic parts of our film came through.
You were the mastermind behind the whole operation of the video. That's awesome. So I want to get into how the band started. Where did you guys meet? How did you guys get into music? What is your origin story, if you will?
We kind of go back to like 2012, even before that, super, super early in like fifth, sixth grade. We were all just friends because we all lived in Newtown at the time. And these other two guys, they started playing music before me. But so I guess I actually let them talk a little bit more about that. But I came in a little bit later, but it's just from us all hanging out and being friends.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, basically, Robbie was basically already, the guitarist or whatever of our friend group. Robbie plays drums and guitar, if we didn't say that already. But, yeah, I just basically started playing shortly after that. Because my mom was just like do you really want to start guitar lessons? And I never really said I wanted to, but I did anyways. And I really liked it, and we just started playing together for a few years. then our family left Newtown for greener pastures in Pittsford, New York for a little bit. But yeah, so we don't live there anymore, but you know, we're still good friends and, you know, hang out a lot when we can.
Is that hard to coordinate since you guys are all living in different places right now?
It's extremely difficult. But it's kind of been a theme of how we do music for a long time. Because Josh moved away when we were going to freshman year of high school. This is a long time ago. And because of that, we've had this whole dynamic of just kind of texting music ideas together. And just trying to find trips that we could make to hang out together and just occasionally doing stuff. But we were sort of primed to be kind of thriving in this whole like remote environment, because for years we've just been handling our songwriting and everything remotely and just planning everything out that way.
So this past year has obviously been so easy for you guys then. you've been trained for this COVID kind of way of producing music. So I want to talk a little bit about your creative process and what goes into you guys creating music, from, you know, texting each other that first idea to actually making the song. What's that like for you guys?
Yeah, so a lot of the times, you know, let's say there's the three of us and we're hanging out and, you know, we're having like a jam session. A lot of our songs start off in a jam session. You know, where somebody will come up with a chord progression and then Brandon will play a bass line to it and I'll come up with a funky drum part. So what else would you guys say about the process?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, usually, it seems like a lot of the time, since it's, you know, so hard for us to get together, I feel like, yeah, most of the songs, like, I've written personally, like, I just, you know, come up with on acoustic, and then we just, like, jam on it, and it becomes, like, a sort of, like, different beast, like, our last song off the Battle of the Bands video, Don't You Want to Be a Rock Star, when we jammed on it as a band, it just became, like, you know, so much better, and, like, sort of our best song already, so. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
A lot of our songs, you know, now that I think about it, like maybe we'll start off as like an iPhone voice memo from Josh just strumming away on acoustic guitar. And then we'll think, like, yeah, you know, that sounds good. But, you know, I feel like, you know, it could be better or something like that. It could be more exciting. So then for exactly that song, Rocks, Don't You Want to Be a Rock Star? It started off as like an iPhone voice memo and, you know, kind of funny. When we brought the whole band together, it just became this like epic rock anthem. you know, not the whole thing is a rock anthem, but
yeah.
To me, that's my new favorite song.
Yeah.
I think a good way to think about it is we've developed this really good kind of free flowing system of playing music together where we don't always have to communicate our ideas very clearly. And we sort of just from having played for so many years together and just having this really organic chemistry, if I come up with some song or chord progression, or if Josh has a song already in mind where it's just in his head, he's just playing an acoustic guitar and that's all it started as, I don't think he or any of us have to say to like Robbie, okay, we want this drum beat or anything like that. We just know like Robbie will come up with something awesome. So while a lot of songs have, like Robbie said, come from just us jamming together and not having anything beforehand, even when Josh or someone already has a song in mind, it tends to take on a whole new life because Josh or whoever doesn't necessarily come in with all the parts arranged.
That's really awesome that you guys have that kind of chemistry where you've been working together for so long and you can kind of just feed off of each other's one voice memo. Like, that's awesome. I don't really know other bands that can mesh so well with one another. And, you know, that's great. And it's probably what helped you win Battle of the Bands this year, So can you tell me about your music video and maybe describe it a little bit for our listeners who haven't seen it? All I can say is it was pretty cool. But can you guys talk about the idea, like how that came to fruition and what went behind performing that and making it for Battle of the Bands?
Sure. I'll have Brandon and Robbie explain that one for a while.
There's kind of a long line of things that led to making this particular video. Like we already talked about a little bit how I go to NYU and I focus on film a lot of the time. That's where a lot of my experience comes from. And throughout my time at NYU, one of the themes for me has been making films about music. And for example, like 3 or 4 years ago now, I made like a documentary about Robbie where he was recording his own song and I hung out with him and did some of his music stuff. And then a little while after that, we did another sort of prototype for this film where I had the guys come to NYU to this like TV studio that NYU has. It's like a multi-cam, just cool, just like open space. And we got to do this project for my class where we played one song together. We brought in all the music equipment and we just did like a live performance. And that was live edited with 3 cameras. And that was a really cool experience that we got to mix the music after. And I remember after doing that video, I think I had just learned a lot about how kind of a music video works, even though this was a live video and not a music video, as it would traditionally be known. I still felt like there was so much there that we all learned about showing yourself on screen and getting your energy across visually as well as musically. And I just really didn't want to leave that idea of us doing a live video there, but I never really knew how we could go on to make another sequel to that because I no longer had access to that TV studio. But then when Josh told us about this Battle of the Bands opportunity, we kind of realized how it would be remote. I realized how that would just be a great way to revisit that concept and see if we could do a longer form video and have an entire set be around that and maybe incorporate more of a story to it and just get really creative and out there, which is just really fun. And I guess one of the ways it was different this time is that we had to do it homemade. We couldn't do it at NYU with any of that studio equipment or anything. So we just had to figure out how we could just do it in literally Robbie's basement. And that was just a really fun way. And it kind of, I feel like it made the video speak more to our history as a group together, where many of the jam sessions we talked about have taken place in Robbie's basement where we filmed the video. And just that homemade, like in Connecticut feel comes across really well.
That's awesome. And I would have to agree. It really just emanated that, like I said before, that chemistry that you guys have together, the storyline that went with it. It was awesome. Really quickly around the room, I want to ask each one of you who inspires you to make music. And if it's not a musician, that's totally okay. But let's start with Joshua.
Sure. I think mainly, I don't like, I just like make music. I don't know. Or like I think the main thing that inspires me is like it's kind of like a legacy thing in our family. Almost like our grandma was like the one that kind of like she was like the best like piano player like you'd ever heard in your life, like better than like Liberace probably or anything. And you know, she was, yeah, she played on some like, you know, shows and stuff, and she played at like nursing homes until she was like, you know, 80. And she passed like maybe it was like 6-8 years ago now. And it's sort of just, yeah, like sort of like an obligation to, I guess, sort of continue it. And yeah, and then like, you know, musical heroes like Kurt Cobain or like I don't know, Alex Turner, Arctic Monkeys and stuff. Yeah,
Yeah, there's always going to be those big names, but
yeah,
a really sweet story about how it kind of runs in your veins and carry on that legacy. What about Robbie? Who is your inspiration to create music?
So my inspiration, besides Cyborg Reg, probably Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters. I just think that he's an absolutely fascinating musician and symbol in rock and roll culture. Like he's a multi-instrumentalist. So he started in his early days playing punk rock on drums. And then he was invited to play in another band, Nirvana. And, you know, after Cobain's death, he started his band Foo Fighters, and where he switched over to guitar and singing. And I guess that really inspires me to kind of be able to be, you know, do my best to be talented with both drums and guitar, like equally as good. Cause I know that, you know, if he did it, I can do it. He's just very inspirational to me. And another reason is that, you know, he's dealt with some tragedies in his life, you know, a few that we know, a few, you know, maybe we don't know, but, you know, I've also dealt, you know, with some tough things, and he, in my eyes, he used music to like push past those events. And like, I definitely see myself in him. I mean, he's like the exact like person I want to be, I guess. Besides Cyborg Reg, believe me.
That's awesome.
So Dave Grohl.
That's awesome. And you're so right how music can really be that outlet for people to get through hard times that they're going through in their life. And I'm sure that's something a lot of people have done over the last year. But last but not least, Brandon, who inspires you to create music?
Yeah, I think the most fun thing for me about influences and really just music in general is constantly finding new things and always changing my interests and sort of having a new image for myself every year or two. So it's hard to say what exactly are my prime musicians, like the ones that will always influence me, because it's even the ones that I love the most, after a couple of years of just listening to them 24 hours a day, I'll get kind of bored of that and I'll find something totally different. And I love that about myself, because I feel like it always lets me bring something new to whatever project we're working on. So I guess, for example, around now, I'm really into more of like the electronic side of music and a lot of like dance music and like post-punk that incorporated like synthesizers and all that, and just more like funkier type stuff. And that comes through a little bit in the video, where you can hear some of the music that I've made on my own used in the intro and the outro that is just like electronic based. So I love being able to incorporate all these new things that always kind of shift and change before me. And I don't know, that's just really fun. But I definitely started off as a kind of a stereotypical Beatles person and discovered them in like sixth grade. Paul McCartney in particular just like changed my life. And that's when I started wanting to play bass, because Paul McCartney plays bass. That was the entire reason I picked that instrument, actually. And it worked out perfectly, because then some of my closest friends, like Robbie and Josh, needed a bassist. Like that was a role that was open, and that just allowed us to go from there. And that's really fun.
It really is funny how the universe works and how we get our inspirations, and then like Cyborg Village, everything just seemed to click. So the last question that I have for you guys, which I'm kind of dying to know, are any of you actually cyborgs?
I don't think we can reveal that. I think it's sort of up for debate a little bit.
we're a bit of a new presence on this planet. Mm-hmm. And we like to stay a little bit mysterious. But we can assure you that if you keep your eyes out. Well, there'll be more cyborg information.
If people do want to keep their eyes out for more quote unquote cyborg information, where can they find you guys on social media and for your music?
Yeah, we've got some stuff on the internet. You can see we're on Bandcamp. You can actually see just the audio of the film. You know, it's just a live album basically. It's a Bandcamp. You just look up Cyborg Village and find that, cyborgvillage.com or whatever, cyborgvillage.bandcamp.com. We're also on Instagram at Cyborg Village. And yeah, you can see in the links on there that you can find the video. And yeah, hopefully we'll be expanding to more things soon.
That's awesome. Well, it was great talking to you guys. Is there anything else that you want to say to our listeners or any fans you have listening out there?
We love you guys.
Awesome.
What else?
I think I probably got something to say.
Just yeah, go ahead.
3 seconds to think about it. No, I just want to express, I could double down on how I think proud we are of this video. And I guess not necessarily even proud, but just it feels so gratifying to have made this because it's sort of a new thing. It's the biggest project we've done together despite us playing for so long. And it really felt kind of like a new beginning for us. And we've been really happy with how people have responded to the video, and we're really excited for more people to see it. The video is going to be showing at the Spring Fling, the WHUS Spring Fling soon. And that's going to be really cool. And yeah, I guess I hope people see the video and hear the music, like it. And I could definitely promise that there'll be more. And we're super excited to film more, to record more. And this is going to be awesome.
Well, I can speak for WHUS when I say we were super excited to have you guys. And thank you again for coming on the show. Again, if anyone out there is interested in listening to Cyborg Village, they are on Instagram and Bandcamp and will soon be on the WHUS Spring Fling. More information on that to be announced. Thank you guys again so much for meeting with me today.
Thank you, Kit.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
I'd like to thank Cyborg Village one more time for chatting with me this week. It was great getting to talk to you guys about your music and what inspires you as artists. Once again, if you're interested in checking out the band, their sets are on whus.org. Thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, and thank you to Ethan Smith for our theme music. And most importantly, thank you, listeners. I've been your host, Kate Ariano, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a wonderful weekend.